The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable addressed to those who believed in their own righteousness and held everyone else in contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood forward and prayed as follows. I give you thanks, God, that I am not like the rest of men, grasping, unjust, adulterous, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice weekly. I tithe in all that I possess. The tax gatherer, however, kept his distance and would not dare to raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went home from the temple justified, but not the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, it's good to be back with you, everybody, back here at the Latin Mass, especially. I've been on vacation for the past couple weeks or so, and so I thank Father Donald for covering the Latin Mass while we were here, and for all the other Masses. And I just got back late last night. That was part of my vacation. I was in the Dominican Republic. It was a beautiful time, and part of it was because I'm a nerd. The Dominican Republic, I learned on this fascinating trip, I went with some brother priests on vacation together, and we're all church nerds, we studied in Rome together, and whenever we study history, it's amazing because the reason why history should be appreciated, because it is our story, our family story, and the Dominican Republic holds many, many firsts for the story of us here, especially in the Americas. Santo Domingo, the capital of the Dominican Republic, holds many firsts. It is the first cathedral in all of the Americas, founded in the year 1504. And there as well, the first cathedral, the first and oldest Marian shrine in all of Latin America, a Nuestra Señora de Alta Gracia, the patroness of the Dominican Republic. And also as well, and what was amazing about this too, what was cool, so the first Franciscan convent was founded in Santo Domingo. Again, this is where God's providence is amazing. So the first Franciscan convent was there in Santo Domingo, founded in the year 1514. And as I was flying back late last night, so that was the first one, 1517. Flying all the way back, crossing the country. It was about a 5.5 hour flight. As I land in San Francisco, picked up by a generous parishioner late at night. And as we were driving past the skyline of San Francisco, it dawned on me. This is the furthest most point of the Franciscan missionary system, which would eventually become California. I mean, we know the story well of all the missions that Grupo Rosetta founded up the way. And the northernmost Franciscan convent is what? San Rafael, just north of San Francisco. And it stunned me how ingenious the Franciscans and the Spanish were. The first Franciscan convent, and then here on the West Coast, the last one, spanning 300 years of missionary activity. Because what's stunning about this is that by the time the Europeans would land here in the Americas, we all know it was a clash of civilizations. And it was, at times, brutal and ugly. But what's amazing about this is that the moment that when the first Europeans landed here, in God's providence, the rise of what we call the mendicant orders were now firmly established. Because when you go to Santo Domingo, within the city of that, behind the ancient walls, you have the Jesuits, the Franciscans, and the Dominicans already ready to go. And so by the time when Spain, and then ultimately France, and then the English would come, and the Portuguese, quickly behind the state, immediately, were these religious orders who are already ready to hit the ground running to start building up the church and evangelize. Again, what's so beautiful about this is that in the brutality and the ugliness of the clash of civilizations, something stunning happened. We visited the first Dominican convent there in Santo Domingo. By the way, the Dominican Republic is named after the Dominican order itself, the Dominican Republic. There's a famous first. In that convent of the Dominicans, on December 21st, the fourth Sunday of Advent, 1511, a famous homily would be preached by Antonio Montesinos. It's a short homily. And in this homily, Father Montesinos would preach on the dignity of the Indian. First time. Why was this important? Because again, at the clash of these civilizations, the native population were ravaged by disease. And then the discovery of precious metals, human greed took over. And many of the indigenous people were enslaved, especially in the encomienda system, where landowners would be given rights over these indigenous peoples. And they would work them brutally on their plantations. Brutal. Torturous, even. And seeing the brutality that the Spaniards had on the indigenous, Father Montesinos, now given, as we hear in the first reading from Paul, as Paul speaks about how God gives the Spirit to different people. And Father Montesinos was given the power to preach. I want to read you this homily that he gave, which literally changed the world. Again, I'm not speaking hyperbolically, because you'll see in a few moments how. So let me quote it. It's only three paragraphs, but this is the first homily given on the dignity of the Indians. Here's now Father Montesinos. Church packed with Spanish nobles. This is what he says. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. In order to make your sins known to you, I have mounted this pulpit. I am the voice of Christ crying in the wilderness on this island. And therefore, it behooves you to listen to me, not with indifference, but with all your heart and senses, for this voice will be the strangest, the harshest, and the hardest, the most terrifying that you ever heard or expected to hear. This voice declares that you are in mortal sin and live and die therein by reason of the cruelty and tyranny that you practice on these innocent people. Tell me, by what right or justice do you hold these Indians in such cruel and horrible slavery? By what right do you wage such detestable wars on these people who live mildly and peacefully in their own lands? where you have consumed infinite numbers of them with unheard of murders and desolations? Why do you so greatly oppress and fatigue them, not giving them enough to eat or caring for them when they fall ill from excessive labors, so that they die, or rather are slain by you, so that you may extract and acquire gold every day? And what care do you take that they receive religious instruction and come to know their God and Creator, or that they be baptized, hear Mass, or observe holy days and Sundays? Are they not men? Do they not have rational souls? Are you not bound to love them as you love yourselves? How can you lie in such profound and lethargic slumber? Be sure that in your present state, you can no more be saved than the Moors or Turks who do not have and do not want the faith of Jesus Christ. Sitting in the pews of that packed church was a noble slave owner. And as he listened to Father Montesinos, his heart was pierced. Because here he was himself, an owner of a vast land, many, many slave workers. And as he heard Father Montesinos preach this homily, he would be convicted of his sins. He eventually would sell everything, release his slaves, free them, and he would join the Dominican order. We now know this man as Bartolomé de las Casas. He would go on to take on that mantle of Father Montesinos, that began to preach throughout the empire about the dignity of the Indian. Within a few decades of this homily, all slavery, Indian slavery in the Spanish Empire ceased. And the first charter of human rights would begin, changing our civilization. You see, what Father Bartolomé did in that moment was that he began to become like the second person in the Lord's parable from today's gospel. What does our Lord here do as he holds up the Pharisee, the religious leader of his time, the most educated, who proudly boasted of his works, but his heart was far from God, versus the tax collector? You see, our pride is the biggest obstacle to God's plans. Our dumb pride, our foolishness, full of ourselves. Oh, believe me, we all have it, by the way. It is pride that destroys. Why our Lord holds up this tax collector as the Christian disciple par excellence. He dare not even look at God, beating his chest, recognizing his sinfulness. And once we go to war with our ego, God can do amazing things. Look what he did to Bartolomé de las Casas as he sat there December 21st, 1511. He humbled himself and he would change the lives of millions. Go to war. Go to war with your ego. Run to the confessional. Pray like this tax collector. And once we let go, oh God will use us in the way He sees fit.